Father in heaven, we thank you for the honor, the privilege it is, Lord, to study the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we would take heed to the principles of Scripture and make the proper application to our lives. Challenge us by the Word, I pray, to honor you, to be corrected, and to be changed in a biblical way to make lasting changes, Lord. I understand the sanctification process is a moment-by-moment decision, and I pray that we would decide to walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so we're going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we are looking at Deuteronomy chapter 23. And just as a quick review, sa 22, we saw family life, promises, and warnings. We saw the principles of honesty and help in verses 1, 2, and 3. We saw the principle of restoration of stolen property. We saw in verse number 5 the principle of distinction in gender, okay, and in dress and appearance. So, sakop ng moral law, yung dress standards is, let me just say this, dress standards is an expression of moral law. It is not ceremonial, it is not civil. Although in the context of Deuteronomy 22, definitely may cultural at saka civil implications. But we, as Christians, we don't read the Bible and like a textbook, and we know the facts, but we read the Bible to see the will of God and to prove it in our life. So however which way we believe, verse number 5 speaks to our culture today. And so, may mga gender distinctions today. Women ought to look like women. Men ought to look like men. And the more society is walking away from the Lord, the more the distinctions will be blurred and will be confused. So, sa lipunan, we can see society today. And men want to be women, women want to be men, in direct defiance to the Creator God who made them. They don't even believe that they are a creation of God. Hindi naman sila naniniwala na sila inilikha ng Diyos, sa wangis ng Diyos. So foundations are being destroyed, biblical foundations, being attacked today. And we can decide that to be manly or womanly, if you're a woman, you ought to be a woman, in honor and respect to the God who created us and designed us the way He designed us. So, ang ugat talaga ng rebellion ng tao ay dalawa, unbelief and unthankfulness. I don't believe that God designed me, that God created me, and I'm not thankful to God. I am in charge. I want to do my own thing. And so that this is where we are in society. Now, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, yes, it pertains to Israel. Yes, God speaks to this particular context. But what do we get as Christians from the Word of God? Well, we see God intended men to be men, women to be women, and the genders are not to be mixed. So dress... men ought to look like men. Now, there are cultures, and I believe this is true, there are cultures that violate this principle, and it is up to us as Christians to correct the culture, to go against the culture. So in a way, we are counter-cultural. No? Lalo na ngayon. So, tayo na nakakaalam nito, we don't parade, and we don't act like we know everything, and we're so good. No, we are simply trying to obey the Lord, and we are trying to inform others so that we can win them and bring them to obey the Lord as well. That is the heart, so we don't have a bad attitude. You know, we don't walk around in pride. Look at me, I'm just all together, I got it together. That's the wrong wrong attitude when it comes to dress standards. So our dress standards ought to really be rooted in acknowledging God, acknowledging His distinctions, and humbly obeying the Lord in all these things. So that's the principle of distinction in gender and appearance. The word abomination in that verse heightens the principle. This transcends civil and moral, civil and ceremonial law, aspects of the law. By the word abomination, if God hated this, if God hated something in the Old Testament, does He still hate it in the New Testament? Of course. So that's the idea. Then verse number 12 is another gender distinction in clothing. Those fringes or the tassels. So even in the small minor details, God says, I want you to be distinct. I want you to be different. And so if we want to please the Lord, we better be different from the world. And so the world today, fashions design, the designers are... Are they saved? Are they born again? Are they church members? Do they follow the Lord? Are they Christians? No. And so, saan tayo kukuha ng damit natin sa mga fashionists? So therefore, wag nating sabihin, ang ganda ng damit, susutin ko na lang yan, without running through the biblical standards. Ito ba ay nagpapakita ng laman? Does it expose parts of the body? Is it long, loose, and flowing? Is it tight-fitting? Is it forming? Is it draw attention to the wrong aspects of the body? So, what do we expect from Babylonian garments? Do we expect them to be modest, humble, simple, underestimated? Or do we expect them to look like Hollywood? Christmas tree. So, all right. So, now, kung merong halimbawa bumisita sa atin and they look like Hollywood, halimbawa lang ha, magkakataon, we will have visitors like that. Anong ugali? What is our attitude? Do we tell them, wait. You can't come in like that. No. We will work with them, we will welcome them, and then we will teach them. We will instruct in the scriptures para madala sila sa Panginoon. Hindi tayo magsasabi, no, you can't do this. Lalo na, hindi pa sila naturuan ng salita ng Diyos. They have never heard these things. You know, they've never heard of this. And so, we want to be right in our heart attitude towards people. But at the same time, we want to be right with the Lord. And so, if you have the chance, the opportunity, when you come to church, you come to church with the decent attire, decent clothing that pleases the Lord. If you have to come and you're not wearing that which is decent unto the Lord, come. I'd rather you come and hear the word of God than not hear the word of God, you know? So, wag natin gawing sagabal yung things like that. But let's have the heart, the right heart attitude. Verse number 8 talks about building codes and public safety. So even that's the Lord's concerned about those things. Verse number 9 to 11, the impure mixing, principle of separation. I just touched on these things, didn't really spend a lot of time on it. Let's look at verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds. I'm sorry, chapter 22, verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Don't mix things that don't belong to each other. Verse number 11. Verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox as an ass together. So, dalawang hayop, hindi magkaparehas. Don't let them work together. Hindi magiging pantay yung lupa. Hindi magiging derecho ang guhit. dahil yung isa mas malaki, yung isa maliit. Verse number 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Again, don't mix things that don't belong. This again has implications in the culture of Israel. In our day and age, we have linen, woolen mixed together. Our yung attires natin naturally made na ganyan. And so, what's the principle? Anong idea dito? Separation. Separation ang idea dito. So therefore, halimbawa, sa pag-aasawa, will you marry someone who is not a Christian? No, that's prohibited in the New Testament based on the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 22, where the Lord says, don't mix two things that are not together. Well, if you're a Christian and you're going to marry someone who's not a Christian, you're not the same thing. You will complicate your life. So let me warn you, don't give your heart to someone who doesn't have a heart for the Lord. Okay? So, sabi ng marami, I fell in love. Well, that's sentimental. That's emotional. Ang tao, hindi lang emotion. May volition siya. You have a mind to think. So, if you chose to give your heart, that's your choice. You didn't fall in love. You chose. So, choose wisely. Choose what God wants. And your life will be blessed by the Lord. Verse 12, thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Ito yung tassels, yung vesture. Sa Israel, meron silang coat na linalagay. Gusto ng Diyos, may tassel yung suot nila. Tassel. Ganon. Design. Why? Well, magiging kilala sila sa lipunan. Hindi sila katulad natin. Iba talaga yung kasuotan nila. Again, the principle is separation. God wants Christians to look like Christians. And so, can an unsaved person see you and identify you as a believer? Can they identify you as a man? Can they identify you as a woman? Even in our generation now, ang daming fake. There's fake news. There's fake women. There's fake men. So, and the more society walks away from God, the worse it's going to get. So, nakita na ba natin ang dulong wakas ng LGBTQ agenda? Have we seen the end? Hindi pa natin nakita yung simula. Sa ngayon sa Pilipinas, same-sex marriage is not acknowledged. Simula pa lang yan. Darating ang time, men will marry minors. Women will marry minors. Oh. That will get there. Nangyari yan sa lipunan ng Greece. Nangyari yan sa lipunan ng Roma. And so, hulaan nyo, nagbago na ba ang mundo? Is this a better world? Are we better than Greece? Are we better than Rome? Are we better than Persia and Babylon? No, it's the same world, the world that lieth in wickedness, according to John. So we haven't seen the end of the train. Then there'll come a time when men will marry their pets. Men will marry their trees. Women will marry their pets and trees. And so on and so forth. So, verse 13, principles of purity and morality. Verse 13, if any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman when I came to her and I found her not a maid. Then shall the father, the damsel, and her mother take and bring forth tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. So, halimbawa, yung tao gusto niyang i-divorce yung wife niya na wala namang dahilan. Inaccuse niya na hindi naman siya virgin. Eto ngayon ang katunayan, sir, na virgin yung anak namin nung ginahasa ng lalaki yung anak namin. Ngayon, hahatulan siya dahil nagsinungaling yung lalaki. So this is purity and justice to protect the daughter, the virgin daughter. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel because he had brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be as his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, however, on the other hand, if indeed she is not a virgin, the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she had wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. So, again, in the society of Israel, yung pag-aasawa nila, they believe in betrothal and espousal. That's basically engagement. They are legally husband and wife, but they are not socially husband and wife. Sa batas ng Diyos, they're husband and wife, but there's no consummation. Wala pa yung wedding day nila. They haven't been wedded. But, however, if it's proven during the espousal period that she is not faithful, he can divorce her. And because she brought folly to Israel, a bad name in Israel, they can judge her up to execution. Depende sa case niya. So, remember Joseph was espoused to Mary? That was a very dangerous thing because if Joseph wanted to, he could have, and talagang was she pregnant? Was there evidence that she's not a virgin? Obviously. So he could have turned her in for execution. But he loved her, and so he privately did away with her. Was going to, at least. Now, that's divorce. In Old Testament and in the New Testament. Sa lipunan natin ngayon, we don't understand that. We think husband and wife, they've already wedded, they've already consummated their ceremony, civil, ceremonial, moral, it's all complete. And now they're saying we want a divorce because she's not faithful or he's not faithful. All right, well, I have a right to divorce you. Wrong. Not according to the scriptures. So Western society does not understand Jewish culture of espousal. Kaya even evangelical preachers and fundamentalist pastors and teachers and preachers will teach, yes, if one of the partners is unfaithful, they have a right to divorce. No, they don't. Remember, the divorce here refers to the espousal period, not after the wedding night in the consummation. Verse 22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall be, both of them shall die, of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman's soul shalt thou put away evil from Israel. So what does God think of adultery? What does God think of fornication? It's evil. It's evil. So, sa lipunan natin ngayon, are we full of wickedness and evil? Yes. Our music in society is evil. The movie industry is evil. The newspapers and print media, evil. Evil, evil, evil. Promoting adultery, promoting fornication. So this is where we are in society today. And is it going to get better? Huh?
Oatmeal nga lang, nakaubad na yung tao. You seen the billboard? Kumain ka ng tuna. Tuna fish. Ang laswa. Immodest, almost naked. Tuna fish! Oatmeal! Now, let me ask you a question. Is society going to get better and better? No. Tuna fish pa lang. Anyway, verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then shall ye bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. This is during the betrothal. They haven't really ceremonially been wedded. But in the eyes of God, they are already husband and wife. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so shall they put away evil from among you. Verse 25, but if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. So, in the case of rape, no? Yung nag-rape, papatayin dapat. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For if he found her in the field and the betrothed damsel cried, there was none to save her. So this is retribution for rape. Verse 28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because they have humbled her. He hath humbled her, and he may not put her away all his days. So here is two couples. They consented to have immoral relationship. God said, well, marry her. Fulfill your responsibility. You chose her. You're married. And you can't put her away. So, there's the standard of the Lord. Verse 30, a man shall take his father's wife, nor discover his father's, shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt, meaning to say, no incest, no incestual relationships. All right, chapter 23, continuing the theme of purity. There's purity in worship, purity in worship. 23 verses 1 to 8. So this is a sensitive topic here. Why would a man have a problem with his private parts? Well, remember the culture. They are entering into Canaan, and Canaan is all about fertility worship. And so in the fertility worship of Canaan, they disfigure and cut themselves. So it's not unusual for a man to cut himself in his private parts. And so God addresses that here, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones and hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. God does not receive pagan worship. Verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite, a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. Because they hired against Balaam. Naalala niyo si Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, Mesopotamia, to curse thee. So naalala ng Lord yung ginawa ng mga Moabites. Balak, the king of Moab, hiring Balaam to curse Israel. Ngayon, sabi ng Diyos, hindi ko tatanggapin yung mga Moabites and the Amorites and the Canaanite pagan worshipers. Even to the 10th generation, they're not allowed in the congregation of the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Because the Lord thy God love thee, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Meron tayong mga kaaway sa buhay na hindi natin pwedeng bigyan ng peace. So as a Christian, ano yung mga kaaway? What are the enemies of the Christian? The world. Pag sinabing world, yung kamunduhan, hindi yung mundo, ha? Hindi natin kaaway yung mundo natin. Ang kamunduhan ang kaaway natin. Yung society na kumikilos na salungat sa Diyos. Halimbawa, yun, yung immoral na picture, yung immoral na music, yung immoral na ugali, yun yung mga antikristong ugali, salungat sa Diyos. Yan, kamunduhan ang tawag natin doon. That is a Christian enemy. So, world, what's another enemy? Flesh. Yan yung kagustuhan ng laman. Yung gusto ng laman na maghimagsik, yung gusto ng laman magwala, yung gusto ng laman na magmura, yung gusto ng laman na bulok, na ugali, anger, uncontrolled anger, the flesh that generates desires that are contrary to God, Antichrist. That's the world of flesh. And the third one is the devil. Yan ang ikatlong kaaway ng Kristiyano, Satan, the devil. Now, are we to make peace with any of these enemies? No, even to the 10th generation, don't ever make peace with the world. Don't ever make peace with the flesh, and don't ever make peace with the devil. I'm sorry, we are going to always be at war until graduation day. Until we graduate. So if the war is daily, hourly, minute by minute, moment by moment, we have to be in the Spirit. We have to rely on the Lord. We will never make peace with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so Israel will never make peace with Ammonites and Moabites and the Canaanites. Now, there's an exemption here, verse 7. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. Now, what about the Edomites? What's so special about them? For he is thy brother. Remember the Edomites? They're brethren. Where did they come from? Yes, the father of the Edomites is Esau. Who is Esau's brother? Jacob and Esau. They're under Isaac. They have the same father. So God said, well, when it comes to the Edomites, we make provision for them. There's another one. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. And the children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. So the Lord knew ahead of time that they will be assimilated into the congregation of the Lord, made provision for them. Verse number 9, principle of purity in the military. When the host goeth forth against enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. Well, we just studied this in the boys' Sunday school. Joshua told the people, when you take over a nation when you take over the cities, you're going to find the gold and the silver. Take all that. Don't even look at it. Just take all that. Put it into the tabernacle. Well, there was a soldier who thought he saw the silver and the gold. He was tempted and he liked it. And he took some for himself, including the Babylonian garment. That is Achan. He took the wicked thing and he became cursed because of that. So there's that wicked thing. Verse 10. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of his uncleanness, by chance chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp, but it shall be when the evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. So here's ceremonial cleansing. God, if a man is defiled, then he needs to purify himself and return to service. But you cannot return to service until you're clean. You see that? Verse 12. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and that it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, and shalt dig therewith, shalt thou turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp to deliver thee, to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall the camp be holy, and he that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. So make sure that even in your weaponry, in your uniform, in your person, you are clean, you are pure, so that God who is holy can bless and honor you. So here we are, we're serving the Lord in our local church. Okay, how do we apply the principle here? As we serve the Lord, we have to make sure that we are clean and proper and pure in the sight of God. So what does that mean? Before you come to church, you repent and confess your sin before the Lord, so that when you come to church, you're ready to serve with purity and cleanness of heart. Now, can the Lord bless if you're not pure and clean? No. Your service for the Lord will not count. Why? Because you're not prepared. You did not repent and call upon the Lord and for cleansing. Now, a Christian doesn't need to be saved over and over again. That is not biblical. But a Christian needs to be cleansed and purified over and over and over again. So, yan ang challenge natin bilang Kristiyano. We believe in repentance. We preach repent. You can't get saved if you're not repentant. Well, let me say something. You can't serve unless you're repentant. You're not, you cannot serve. Now, you can try to serve on the exterior and look good, but God can't bless. He can't certainly bless you. Maybe he can bless someone with the word of God. It's the mercy of God. But the plan of God is that we serve him in purity. Verse 12. So we got that already. Verse 15. Verse 15, ito yung principle of slavery and liberty. So even in slavery, the Lord manages that and shows us how to be wise slave owners, I guess slave masters or whatever. Verse 15, certainly not like the world, and the world has no clue about this, and they're, even today, there's still slavery today. So merong dalawang bansa na nagpa-practice ng slavery today. I forgot which one, they're both Muslim countries. Anyway, verse 15. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. So, kung yung isang alipin nakatakas, ayaw, ibig sabihin, ayaw niya magtrabaho dun sa tahanan na yun kasi malupit yung master. So, may karapatan yung slave na pumunta sa city of refuge at doon siya magstay hanggang makahanap siya ng place na pwede siyang mag-serve na malaya. So, don't oppress the slave. Verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomite of the sons of Israel. So, there you go. What does God think of LGBTQ? Prohibited. It's prohibited. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. So, alimbawa, I made money. Oh, how did you make your money? Well, I sold my body. And now I'm tithing. Here's my tithe. Well, does God receive that? No, God doesn't receive it. So, tandaan ninyo, ha? You have to be careful, even in the New Testament, na yung paraan na kung saan nakukuha natin yung pera natin ay dapat wasto rin. We have to be godly and upright and honest in the acquisition of money. So don't, ano ah, huwag niyong sabihin, nanalo ko ng loto, magtatide ako. Huwag niyo na lang sabihin kung saan ang galing yung pene, biro lang. No. That is rejected. We will not, we can't, and if I know, if I know that that money came from a lottery, even though it's up to the millions, I will reject it. Why? Because it doesn't honor the Lord to acquire money the wrong way. So we have to trust God for everything. So let's see. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So God has standards for financing and resourcing money. All right. So again, since we're on the topic of money, the way you handle money, can the unsaved world observe that you are a Christian in the way you handle money? Okay. So that's important. So may isang ano, may isang nanalo ng loto. Ano siya? Lolo siya. Eh, yung siyempre, 90 years old, mahina na ang puso. Sabi ng mga kamag-anak, dali natin sa pastor kasi payuhan tayo ng pastor kung anong gagawin sa pera na yan. Kay, hindi natin pwedeng sabihin kay lolo na nalo siya, maka-heart attack si lolo. So, dinala si lolo sa pastor. Inupo ni pastor yung lolo tsaka yung mga kamag-anak. Anong payong mabibigay ko sa inyo ngayon, sir? Sir, yung lolo namin, nanalo ng loto, milyon-milyon. Ano po ang, paano namin sabihin sa kanya para hindi siya maano, ma-heart attack, sabi niya. Akong bahala, sabi ng pastor. Sabi, tay! Halika, tay. Tay, po ka dito. Tay, kung sakaling manalo ka ng loto, tay, anong gagawin mo sa pera? Sabi ng lolo, ay, bibigay ko sa church. Nahimatay yung ano, pastor ng heart attack. Siya ang heart attack nung narinig niya. Alright, well that was just a joke, okay? So, it's not part of the lesson, but hopefully you'll remember. Alright, verse 21, but when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be a sin in thee. So kung nag-promise ka sa Panginoon, meron akong gagawin para sa iyo, Lord, gampanan mo yung word na yon. God honors vows. So first of all, when you make a vow, don't make a quick, rash vow. Because God really holds us to our vows. So marriage is a vow. That's a vow unto the Lord. And so we don't make that decision quick. It's made with heavy counsel. It's made with heavy decisions. So that when you do marry, you marry for life. You see, it's a lifetime. You don't break that vow. And so, if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, as according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou promised with thy mouth. So, even a free will offering. I'm not required to give this, but I want to give it. I promise I'm going to give it. Then, if it's a vow, you better give it. Because God will hold you to it. So yea, yea, nay, nay. That's the principle here. Verse 24, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, and thou mayest eatest the grapes that thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. Oh, so halimbawa, ito naman yung principle of property rights. So halimbawa, dumaan ka sa garden ng neighbor mo, marami naman siyang ubas. Sabi ng Panginoon, you can eat katiting. Kuha ka ng dalawa, tatlo, sample, it's fine. Huwag kang magdala ng bucket, ha? Huwag kang magdala ng bushel, tapos lagyan mo lahat ng ubas niya, tapos ibebenta mo yung ubas. That is stealing. And so the Lord makes provision for that. When thou comest, verse 25, into thy standing corn of thy neighbor, thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. So ganon, kuha ka ng isa, pwede mong kainin yung mais ng isa, fine. Pero huwag ka nang mag-harvest, ha? Dadalhin mo yung tabak. Ay, mag-harvest ka na. Chak-chak-chak-chak. Pupunuin ko ito. Bebenta ko ngayon. Oh, that you have acquired sinful money. Tapos magta-tides pa ako. No. God will not honor that. So we see the principles here of all these things, and they're rooted in the Old Testament. So, maganda kaya sa lipunan, i-practice lahat ng ito. Magmula chapter 12 hanggang 22. Uunlad kaya tayo kung i-practice natin yung mga principles ng salita ng Diyos? Yes. Remember, God honors His Word. May mga tao, ignorante sila sa Bible, pero marunong sila sa pagtatrabaho, marunong dumiskarte, marunong magkumayod, marunong magtiyaga, masipag. Uunlad yon. Why? Kasi ino-honor ng Diyos yon, even though they are not saved. So, lalo na sa atin, na alam natin ang salita ng Diyos. And may the Lord bless and challenge us in all these things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the principles that we see in Scripture. I pray, Lord, that we are growing in our wisdom and knowledge, understanding of the Scriptures. Help us to apply these biblical truths in our lives and help us to live for you. Restore us, I pray, and revive us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.